This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Missanelli Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Mike Missanelli Podcast. We are at Friday, April 19th, so we're going into a weekend where the Sixers play in the first round of the NBA playoffs. This is podcast number 178 of the Mike Missanelli Podcast, brought to us by Bet Rivers. To reach me, email. I told you I was going to do this at the start of every show now. Mike@MikeMiss.com. Very easy to get in touch with me if you disagree or agree or just have just general stuff to say to me that you may want to be included on the podcast. So we're always open to those kind of things. Brought to us by Bet Rivers. Keith Pompey, who covers the Sixers, will give us his preview of this upcoming series with the New York Knicks. And this hasn't happened in a long time, playing the Knicks in the playoffs. In fact, it last happened in 1989. We'll take a closer look at that series, which was really kind of an embarrassment for Philadelphia 76ers fans. But let's look at this particular series, Sixers versus the Knicks. And of course, the Knicks starting lineup will go with three Villanova guys: Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo at the perimeter, with Isaiah Hartenstein and OG Anunoby. And of course, Mitchell Robinson, they're going to get minutes from also as a backup center. Bench is pretty good. Deuce McBride has been getting a lot of minutes as a backup guard. Bojan Bogdanovic, Alec Burks, Precious Achiuwa, and occasionally they'll put in this 6'11 guy named Jericho Sims who could jump out of the building just to waste a couple of minutes if people are in foul trouble. The Sixers, believe it or not, are favored to win this series, which was kind of baffling to me since the Knicks won 50 games this year. But the odds makers are saying the Sixers are a slight favorite, even though they don't have home court advantage. The Sixers are at minus 120. I've seen minus 115 in other places. The Knicks are minus 108. The Knicks at home, this is a home court advantage. They're 27-14 this year at home. So they're pretty good at the Garden. So here's the schedule. Game one is tomorrow, Saturday, 6 p.m. ESPN game. Game two will be Monday, 7:30 on TNT. Game three will be Thursday on TNT, also 7:30. Game four is a 1 p.m. Sunday matinee on ABC. And then you got games five, six, and seven, if necessary, Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. Time's not determined as of yet. Okay, so this is a matchup that's going to be really interesting. And I look at it in this mode. The Sixers are not a quick team as far as pace goes. But the Knicks are even less of a pace team. The Knicks are 30th in the league. So the Knicks want to control it in a half-court set with Jalen Brunson making everything work with the dribble handoffs and pick and rolls and stuff like that. The Sixers are not an overly quick team either. They're 18th in pace. So I'm thinking that maybe the Sixers need to quicken up the pace against the Knicks in this particular series, and I'm sure that Nick Nurse is attuned to that. Of course, the big factor, will Joel Embiid be healthy through an entire seven-game series? I think this could very well go seven games. If the Sixers are going to win it, I think they'd have to win it in six, win that game six at home, rather than risk a game seven in the Garden, which I think will be tough for them to win. And, of course, when you get a game seven, a clinch-out elimination game, you always have the questions about whether Embiid's going to deliver, because we saw last year what happened, and people are very wary of that. They're very wary of him staying healthy in this series, whether he needs a break, how many minutes can he play. Now, he looked gassed against the Miami Heat in the play-in game, but he somehow resurfaced in the fourth quarter and gave him really good minutes. It scored 11 points, could do a couple of threes and an N1 and a great pass to Kelly Oubre. Did a lot of good things in that fourth quarter. So it's a mystery. I have no idea how this is going to look. I know his knee is bothering him. You can tell his knee's bothering him. It's not 100% healthy. He's got a big brace on it. So we'll see if this happens. That's the big thing for me is how they control Jalen Brunson. Who will they control him with? Now, they can throw different bodies at him, and they will throw different bodies at him. If Melton can play, they'll use Melton on him a lot. They'll use Kelly Oubre with his length on him a lot. I don't know if that's advisable because, you know, Kelly sometimes gets lazy on defense. They can use Batum on him. They have multiple guys that can face up with Jalen Brunson and kind of impede his progress. You know, he likes to post up. He likes to get in deep. He has been shooting the three-pointer very well. And I'll tell you, I could never envision a time when I would analyze a series and say, you got to stop Jalen Brunson. I mean, this is like outlandish to me that this kid is now a bona fide star in the league. All right, so I told you about the last time the Sixers and the Knicks played in the playoff series. So harken back, 1989. The Sixers were swept in a five-game series. Not only that, but New York Knickerbocker players, including that punk Mark Jackson and Charles Oakley and Sidney Green, guys like that, took out a broom and went sweeping the Spectrum floor, went on the floor sweeping it. Oh, can you imagine? So if you remember the series, I'm going to give you some names on who was on that 76er team in 1989. Of course, they were coached by Jimmy Lynam. Jimmy Lynam, Charles would be Charles. Rick Pitino was the Knicks coach. So the Sixers rolled out the following. Charles Barkley, Mo Cheeks. It would be the last year that Mo Cheeks would play for the Sixers. He would be traded after this season to the San Antonio Spurs. Who did they get from the San Antonio Spurs? Well, we'll tell you that later. Think about it. Barkley, Cheeks, Jaminski, Hersey Hawkins, Ron Anderson were your starters. Off the bench, Gerald Henderson, Derek Smith, Scotty Brooks, Christian Velp, and Ben Coleman. For the Knicks, Gerald Wilkins, Johnny Newman, Pat Ewing, Mark Jackson, Charles Oakley. Off the bench came Rod Strickland, Kiki Vandeweghe, Sidney Green, and Trent Tucker. All names in the past. And they embarrassed the Sixers in three straight and took the brooms out. Man, that can't happen, man. That cannot happen. So it's amazing that the Sixers and Knicks have not played the playoffs all these years. In 1989, we remember that very well. All right, so who wins this series? I think the Sixers can win it. I really do. And if it gets to a game seven, I may have to change that. But I think the Sixers can handle the Knicks in this series. I don't think the Knicks are that powerful a team where you go, wow, they're just going to overmatch the Sixers. I think the Sixers can win this series. And the next series, believe it or not, I think they can win no matter what team it is. The Milwaukee Bucks are really scuffling, so they don't scare me as much anymore. And Giannis is coming off an injury. And then you got the Indiana Pacers, who could upset the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round. So you're telling me that the Sixers couldn't beat the Pacers in a seven-game series, which would lead them into an Eastern Conference final against the Boston Celtics, which I don't, be honest, I don't think they could beat Boston in a seven-game series, especially with the Celtics having home court advantage. All right, now our good buddy Tim Legler, who you see all over the place these days, especially on ESPN, was on First Take the other day, and I was really interested to hear what Tim Legler said, and he said the following, and we're going to play exactly what he said, but if I could paraphrase, Tim Legler said the Knicks should be licking their chops to play the Sixers because Embiid is not right. Here's what Tim Legler had to say on First Take.
Well, I'll sum up how nasty it was. I'm talking directly to the city officials in Philadelphia, maybe even the governor in the state of Pennsylvania right now. The statue of Nicholas Batum should be erected. That statue should be up by the time they play their first home game against the Knicks, okay, by game three. Because, listen, here's why. Without Nicholas Batum last night, their season lasts four more games. Four more games. At most, they might lose against the winner of the 9-10. If they win that game, they're getting swept by the Celtics the way Joel Embiid looks right now. So if I'm the Knicks, I'm watching that, I am licking my chops for all the reasons they both said. There's three things when you watch Embiid. It's not the shot making. He's always going to make shots. He could be out there in a full body cast. He's going to make shots because he's that skilled. Three things I always look for whenever we're talking about Embiid and an injury. Is he changing ends of the floor? He was not changing ends of the floor. Is he sealing, like, with intent in the paint?
Nope.
He wasn't doing it at all. And then does he move laterally defensively? To Allen's point, when he's really good on top of his game, even the way he looked when he first came back from the injury during that 5 or 6 game stretch to close out the season, when he is tracking guards to the rim, when they've turned the corner on him and he's jumped out, when he is going, you know, block to block to meet a guy as a last line of defense, when you see that explosiveness defensively, that's when you know Joel Embiid is right. It has nothing to do with shot making. He's always going to do that. It's the other things, and none of that was there. If I'm the Knicks and I'm watching that game, I am licking my chops right now because Joel Embiid is not right.
It's the Mike Missanelli Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Well, our special guest for today's Mike Missanelli Podcast, the man who covers the Sixers, has been covering them for a really long time. He's winning awards left and right for his writing. And this is a big series to cover for the Philadelphia 76ers in the playoffs against the New York Knicks after they survived against Miami Heat. We welcome in Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Hello, Keith.
What's up, Mike? Thanks for having me on, man.
My pleasure, man. And, you know, first of all, I don't know how to handicap this series. On one hand, I look at the Knicks where, you know, I don't see them as the number two seed. I hadn't seen them as the two seed all this season. All of a sudden, they rise up as the two seed. And I don't think it's that daunting to think that the Sixers can win this series and move on and maybe get another break in the second series. Am I being too optimistic here or what?
You sound a little optimistic, you know, because you normally keep it real, keep it 100. But I have to say, man, I agree with you. I do feel like that the way things are set up, you know, if the Sixers, Joel's healthy, can play, I do feel like it's set up for the Sixers to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston. I really do.
All right, let's break this down. First of all, let's go back in time, and then we'll look forward to the Knicks. The Sixers were very fortunate to win that game against the Heat. And maybe if Jimmy Butler was 100%, they wouldn't have done that because every offensive possession had to go through Tyler Hero. He's so all over the place. They just didn't have enough guys that could score the basketball. So on one hand, the Sixers are getting lauded for being tough at the end of the game, and Embiid especially. But on the other hand, I look at it like it's mitigated by the fact that Miami didn't have much for him in that fourth quarter. How did you see that game?
You know what? That's a great observation. Miami didn't have much in that fourth quarter. I mean, they had to run everything from Tyler Hero. They didn't have Terry Rozier playing, who had been torching the Sixers since he's been with the Heat. So, you know, my thing is, yes, but also you can't discount the shots that Joel Embiid made. You can't discount how the momentum changed, right, when Nico Batum caught on fire. So, and he also did make some big shots. Now, the one thing is, yes, Jimmy Butler plays phenomenal. But in the past, a lot of the things that really destroyed the Sixers were Tyler Hero shooting, Duncan Robinson shooting, and also their zone defense, right? So it just seems like the Sixers figured those two things out. And I think that for that, I give the Sixers more of what the Sixers did as opposed to what Jimmy Butler was unable to do.
Yeah, I get – I mean, I don't want to take away anything from the Sixers, but I'm watching that game and I'm going, you know, the Tyler Hero backcourt violation is something that Jimmy Butler would not have permitted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Jimmy Butler would have controlled that basketball in the fourth quarter. And Hero is just – he's light and he just got bullied into that turnover. It was a monster turnover for the Heat in that game. But let's talk about Embiid because, you know, in the first half, and you looked at social media and go, it's the same old thing with this guy. He's hurt. He looked gassed. He's got the hands on the shorts, which is always a sign. And then he, you know, had a resurgence in the fourth quarter. So what are we expecting from him? You know how hurt he is. Can he pull this off in a long series?
You know, that's tough, Mike, to say. You know, it's weird. And I think no one really knows the answer right now because, you know, like you said, you saw in the first three quarters, he shot 3 for 12. He was horrible. And then in the fourth quarter, he looked like he was Embiid before the All-Star break, right? So, I mean, it's a tough question. That's the million-dollar question. Now, my thing is, I feel like if he gets some help from Maxey and if they don't have to go seven games or something like that, yeah, he'll do well. But I think if this is like a grind out, you know, I think Embiid is going to be gassed in game seven, unfortunately. I mean, right now I'm looking at him and I'm wondering, like a lot of people saying, oh, he's out of shape. Nah, it's the knee, man. The knee is bothering him. And that's like preventing him from doing certain things. And can he show up and give you spot things? Yeah. But I don't know if you're going to expect Joel to average 40 minutes doing all types of stuff on that knee. I don't see it happening. I don't.
You know, there's some people who look at it and go, he's playing possum. You know, like he all of a sudden but you know, the knee, it looks like it is bothering him a little bit.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you look at the lift, he wasn't really getting the lift. And another thing is, I think it's also, you know, if I'm the Sixers, I'm hoping it's just a mental thing that's really preventing him. Like, you know, when what I mean by that is a lot of times you see defense, you see him reacting a little slow. You see him like not jumping as high because maybe he's fearful that he's going to re-injure the knee. And to me, that's something that, look, man up, everything's going to be good. You're going to be fine. But if it's like worse than that, then I think they're in trouble. Because if you notice, like Embiid is trying to block shots and guys are like climbing him and he's falling back, you know, and hitting the stanchion a couple times. So it doesn't look good. But if it's something mental, then maybe they can overcome it. But if it's that knee, yeah, nah, he's not playing possum, y'all. He's not playing possum.
All right, Keith, we're talking to Keith Pompey, the Philadelphia Inquirer. Let's look at the Knicks and what they're up against here. And, you know, we all have seen the season that Jalen Brunson has had to the point where he's probably a top five NBA player on that All-NBA team. But what will they have to do to curtail what the Knicks do here?
You know, it's weird. You know, I think, like, the 76ers rely heavily – well, right now they're trying to rely heavily on that two-man game and getting other guys incorporated. To me, I think you need Tobias Harris to step up. He's going to have to play well, right? Also, it's weird. Really, they're going to have to throw a lot of bodies at Brunson. Like a lot of guys, they know that Brunson loves to maneuver, do a lot of things. They like doing switches, getting them onto the right guys. So it just seems like they're going to have their heads. I hate saying this for basketball, but they're going to have their heads on the swivel. Guys going to have to fight through screens. They're going to have to play really well and show him a crowd and force other people to beat him. As much as I like Dante DiVincenzo and I like Josh Hart and all those guys, I'd rather have them trying to shoot shots than Jalen Brunson driving the lane and hitting step back threes on me. So I think that they have to show him a crowd, but you need Tobias and other guys to step up.
All right. Now they have, and I don't know what Mitchell Robinson's health situation is these days, but they do have a lot of fouls in the middle with Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson. So I assume they're going to try to bang Embiid every chance they get.
Oh, no doubt. Definitely. And you know, it's going to be one of those things where, like, right now they're telling them, look, guys, if we win this series, it's y'all. And, I mean, you guys have to get physical with him. You know he's going to get to the foul line, but you got to nudge him. We got to make sure we're going to try to do what the Heat did. Don't allow him to get to his spots. And if we do that, we feel like we may have a chance. The one thing about Hartenstein is, and I just messed up my man's name.
It's Hartenstein. Hartenstein. Yes, it's a CH
H,
in there.
My man H, right?
So Frankenstein. Yeah. Frankenstein, yeah. Not Frankenstein. Frankenstein.
So the thing about it is he's one of those Euros. And the thing about those European players, they're like disciplined on the defensive end. And a lot of times they're physical. He's a little slender compared to Embiid, but he's disciplined. So, you know, those are the guys that don't get into a lot of foul trouble like Embiid when he does that rip through and all that other stuff. So that will be interesting to see. But I do expect Mitchell Robinson to get a lot of fouls and get into foul trouble. But you know they're going to bang him. You know they're going to be physical with him.
Here's the thing that worries me. The Knicks consistently play like dogs. They play hard all the time. Thibodeau doesn't allow them not to play hard, and they have guys who buy into that type of thing. Josh Hart is like an amazingly hard player, and he's not an overly talented player, but he blends in so well with what they try to do. The Sixers sometimes look soft to me, and the Knicks never look soft. So, like that's the only thing I look at this series, and I go, well, they're going to have to out-tough them in at least one game at the Garden, whether that's a game one or two, or whether that's a game seven. Can they win a game seven at Madison Square Garden, the Sixers?
They may have to, but I think it's going to be tough, man. It is. And the thing is, the one thing that you said, out-tough them, but, you know, you got to be smart about it, too. Like, I feel like certain guys are going to do out-tough them. They're going to get baited into getting technicals and may do something crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I could see them trying to get Kelly Oubre to react, right? I can see that happening big time. But, you know, going into the Garden, and it will probably be, you know, an afternoon game on a, you know what I mean, one of those type things, and it's going to be packed. I mean, you lived in New York. I think that it's going to be tough for them to go in there and get that victory. It really is, but I think they don't have any other choice. I mean, that's when big guys got to step up. That's when Joel has to show us, if they go there, he has to show us why he was the second coming of Wilt this season. You know what I mean? In order for him to get that. But it's going to be tough. It really is.
Well, here's the other factor. There's going to be a lot of New York people that overspend to take tickets away from Philadelphia fans. And a lot of season ticket holders might be giving up their tickets. There's going to be a big Knick contingent at the Wells Fargo Center for a lot of these games. So, you know, that's another problem. You mentioned Tobias Harris. And, you know, it's a shame because I'm watching the game. Like, the crowd is just waiting for him to do something poor.
Yeah.
And they're all over. You know, it's like they're groaning when he's taking a shot. They're booing when he's missing that shot. He can't get a break right now from this fan base. So I don't know. What's his mindset about this?
You know, he the one thing is, when you talk to Tobias about it, he always, like, takes the high road, says, like, you know, I got to do better. Or, you know, he just act like he ignores it. But, you know, let's keep it real. Like, he's human. You know, he's human. And human people, like, you know, they get a little disappointed. Like, I mean, you're right. He does get booed. The one thing that I will say, it's funny, like, with the 76ers, like, or the fan base or anything in general. Like, we look at Tobias Harris. You know, Tobias Harris is what? The third option at best. Sometimes they go to Kelly Oubre over him. Now, Kelly struggled. Joel struggled. You know, Maxi struggled. Kyle Lowry struggled. But whenever Tobias was the one taking the shot, it was kind of sort of like, oh, look at him. And then not only that, if they would have lost that game, it wouldn't have been Embiid's knee. It wouldn't have been Embiid was shot 3 for 12. Again, it would have been Tobias let us down. He's getting paid all that money. So I'm pretty sure that is eating Tobias up to a point where I don't expect him to come back next year, even if they offer him, you know, vice versa. I just see this marriage being over. But yeah, it just seems like right now Tobias is the convenient excuse for why they lose. He's the scapegoat, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's dead man walking with this franchise, and the fans know it. And it's funny because there's not one Sixer fan that will even acknowledge that he actually had 10 rebounds in that game.
Oh, yeah.
According to the fan, but he did zero. You know, and he did have 10 rebounds. He played hard. He just, you know, he doesn't fit anymore. All right, so Keith, let me get your prediction on this. We both think that it's not that hard of a draw to get the Knicks, even though I probably am disrespecting them. And it wouldn't be a hard draw. In the next round, the Milwaukee Bucks aren't the same, and I actually don't think they're going to win that series. So the Sixers would have to beat Indiana and get to the Eastern Conference Finals and probably not beat Boston. Is that the way you think it can go?
Yeah, I do. I think that the 76ers, you know, if Joel Embiid is healthy, right, if we don't see, oh, my God, Joel's, like, done for three games or something like that, two games, I do think that they can get past Indiana, and I do think that they'll lose to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. I do. I mean, I just think that the way this is set up for the Sixers with the way Milwaukee is playing, Indiana is a great regular season team, but you got to condense your bench in the playoffs. You also, the playoffs is a slower paced game. So the way I look at it is I honestly think that the Sixers, if they can get past the Knicks, they have a legitimate chance of playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. I just don't think they could beat Boston, though.
I don't either. I don't think that the majority of real fans think that can happen either. So they'll get immunity. They'll lose the Eastern Conference Finals and get immunity because people will look at it and go, oh, well, they fought harder. They just weren't as good as Boston. And look at next year when we have all this cap space.
Yeah.
It'll be a really a different season than losing in the second round. It'll be, okay, we lost, but.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know, we lost, but the people got to realize, yeah, you got all this cap space. You just got to make sure that you get the right players with that cap space. Because, you know, that's the only thing I don't like, Mike, is that people keep pushing the goalposts back. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we didn't do it, but we're going to have these free agents come. And then next thing you know, oh, we didn't get these free agents, but we're going to do this. We're going to develop the guys we have. And when you keep doing that, you're just pushing it back, pushing it back, pushing it back.
Yeah, and it's not a great free agent class, so they're going to have to probably swing a couple of trades to bring in those high-priced players. But that's for another day. Keith Pompey covering the Philadelphia 76ers for the Inquirer. Keith, thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it. We'll see you down the road, okay?
Man, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
It's the Mike Missanelli Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
All right, always nice to have our pal Keith Pompey on. And, yeah, I'm still stunned by what Legler had to say as we went into Keith Pompey. Legler being a little bit of a hater. Come on, T. Legler. All right, in any event, let's move on to the Philadelphia Phillies, who are rolling along because they're playing bad teams right now. The Colorado Rockies stink. I don't understand how Major League teams can really get so run down to the point where they're terrible. And the Rockies are. They did give the Phillies a couple of good fights early in the series. Phillies went up sweeping the Rockies, and now they play the Chicago White Sox, and they should sweep the White Sox or at least take two or three from the White Sox, which has moved them up in the power rankings in Major League Baseball. Now, I kind of discount wins over the Rockies and the White Sox, but that's okay. If the national people are starting to catch on to the Phillies, that's good, because the one thing the Phillies have been, their starting pitching has been excellent. And so that has really been carrying them because they're – offensively, they haven't been the same old Phillies. So the power rankings right now, Major League Baseball, go as follows. Braves, 1. Dodgers, Yankees, Orioles, Rangers, and then the Phillies, 6th in the power rankings, just ahead of the Cubs. So, that's encouraging. Now, when we look at their offense, there's the good and the bad. Trey Turner's on fire. 329, he's hitting. On-base percentage is 386. That's all good. His OPS is pretty good. Bryce Harper's still struggling, though. 217, except for some home runs that he's hit, and 299 on-base percentage. Yet, he's usually close to 400 in on-base percentage. Let's go with the guys that Johan Rojas is up. He's hitting 200 now. He slung in a couple hits the other night, so he's now up to 200. He can't stay at 200. He's got to keep rising, and he's got to get to at least 230, 240, but he's at 200 right now. Maybe that's encouraging. The guy who's not encouraging, and it's worrying me a little bit, is their key reserve, Whit Merrifield, who's really scuffling. 107, he can't seem to find it. This guy's a good hitter, and he is really in a monster slump right now. I'm sure they're going to try to get him more at-bats to get him out of that, and that needs to happen. All right, the starting pitching. Ranger Suarez has become unhittable almost. I was watching him the other day, and he is really difficult to pick up. The way he slings it, they don't pick it up. And he's got really good stuff, and he's got that diving sinker, and there's a really nice changeup. His ERA is 1.73 right now. Wheeler, who's had bad luck in the win-loss totals, is 3.00. Noel is 3.47. Christopher Sanchez is 2.53, and Spencer Turnbull is 1.80. Now, Taijuan Walker's going to come back in rotation. I'm not that excited about that. This guy can't get up to 94 miles an hour. He's like 90, 92, and I think he's going to get shelled at that velocity. But we'll see when he gets back in the starting rotation. Overall, you know, there's a couple of bullpen guys with large ERAs, including Gregory Soto. But their overall pitching staff is 3.56, despite a couple of guys' bullpens who have balloon ERA. So the Phillies' pitching has been holding them up so far. And we'll see if that continues. And it should continue at least against the lousy Chicago White Sox. Just two teams. Year after year, the White Sox stink. Like, who runs that organization? They can't. Like, they're getting high draft picks. They stink. They're terrible. And they have no support in Chicago. And then the Rockies and the White Sox, you couldn't pick six games in a row that would be beneficial to the Phillies. All right. That takes care of our main topics for today. So let's get into Mike Unleashed. And I have a lot of stuff for Mike Unleashed. Of course, there's a big news story happening in the NBA this week. Jonte Porter, the player for the Toronto Raptors, was banned from the NBA for the gambling scandal. And this was such an easy pickings for the NBA. If it was a star player, they would have really had some problems. Jonte Porter is he's a two-minute-a-game guy, G Leaguer up and down. So to bury this guy serves the NBA well. Like, they just threw the book at this guy. Like, this is a notice to all you better players in the NBA. Don't mess around here, because this guy now can't ever get back in the NBA. And I was thinking about this the other day. What the NBA can do about this gambling, because it's prevalent, and all leagues are in bed with all the gambling. Our great pals Bet Rivers here, and I don't know if this is a solution or not, but why wouldn't they just not list unders? Like, can't you just list, like, because if you list an under, that could be manipulated. An over can't. An over has to, you have to play to that level to get an over. And it seems so simple to me. Let me bring in producer Darren here. Why isn't that an easy fix to ban the under and only list overs? What?
Are you banning it to everyone? Banning it to everyone? All
bets
to everyone
have
or
no
just
under. Athletes. Except a point total.
You're not going to do that, because how much money do they
know.
Get?
This has become a problem. If
probably
the leagues
in
are
the
going
billions?
To be in bed with these betting organizations, and maybe they need to insist on that as part of the whole plan, because that's the only thing to me that could be manipulated. That could be manipulated in any game, the under. The over cannot. Even at a point total over under, if you want to list that, that's fine by me. I'm talking about individual prop bets should not have an under.
Individual bets, perhaps you might have a shot at doing that. Mike, these leagues invited this crap.
Well, they
what
did.
Did they
but
think
I'm
was
trying
going
to
happen?
I'm trying to fix
never,
it.
I'm still blown away by this.
I'm trying to fix it. You have to make a tweak now. The easiest tweak for me. See, I'm so logical, and my ideas are so brilliant. How could anybody, if I sit at a corporate table with all these suits, and I go, here's the simplest fix. You got these individual prop bets. That's what Jonte Porter manipulated. So take the under away. Good night. And I walk out.
Mike, I'm telling you, I think there's probably too much money. They probably take in too much money on those types of bets for them to make
that
decision.
Well, that's too bad. If you want our support for the gambling entity and you want to be in business with the NBA or the NFL, or the guess what? We got to do this.
Yeah, I think that's a utopian wish.
How is it utopian?
Because it's they're not going to walk away from money.
It's a fix. You got to fix. They can still make a bet. You can still make the over.
You got to find a fix that's not going to take away from the money that's coming in.
So bet the overs.
You can tell people what to bet now?
Wait, but you can't bet the unders.
To protect
the integrity of the game, you can't bet the
unders. The league's really concerned about that right now. Get the hell out of here.
They were concerned before about the integrity of the game. They didn't get in bed with all these gambling companies.
They left integrity at the door when they got in bed with the mic. That's the reality. They don't care.
I'm always about compromise. See, you don't look at the big picture. You don't have second level.
I am looking
thinking.
At the big picture. You're taking money out of their
pocket. Compromise now. You can't just say, well, they invited it. I'm trying to fix it.
I agree.
Fix is take the under out.
I think you got to find a fix. It's not going to take money out of their
head,
pockets.
Man. I swear to God, you get the hardest head ever. Mike, like you're not receptive to brilliant ideas.
It's a good idea, but you're being
it's
naive.
It's a brilliant idea.
You're being naive.
It's not
naive.
Just a good idea. It's a brilliant idea.
You're being naive.
Let me hear you say it's a brilliant idea.
It's a good idea. You're being naive. You are.
I'm not being naive at all. It's a simple fix. Okay, so
I don't think there's any gambling simple
fix. Companies are going to lose a couple dollars.
Couple dollars? What are we talking about? $1.380? It's talking millions.
A 1,000 bets you can still make. You just can't make the under.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. The Mets. So this guy's been going to Mets games, and he's dressing with these loud outfits like he's on the street pimp. Yeah. And so the media has dubbed him the rally pimp. He shows up every now and then. He's got this Joseph in a Technicolor dream coat things on. And so they call him the rally pimp. So the reporter, one of the reporters that covers the Mets, I think for the Daily News, Andy Martino, used to cover the Phillies for the Inquirer, is outraged and thinks it's bad form to reference a pimp. Your thoughts?
Lighten up, Francis. That's my thoughts. Come on. You're offended. Stop it. Offended.
I kind of think it's pretty cool, the rally pimp.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I think it's great.
All right, Jason Kelce. This is going to be unpopular because of the people that worship Jason Kelce in this town. I've always kind of taken him with a grain of salt. I think he's been a great player, and I know he's an everyman. But now it's getting too much. He's doing all these little silly things. So he participated in Cincinnati in this big chili contest. We had a vat full of chili and cheese. And he somehow volunteered his Super Bowl ring to be put in a sock to be buried in this chili and cheese. And he lost his Super Bowl ring.
He did that because he's known for losing his Super Bowl ring around the house and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
It's like an inside joke.
So now he lost it somehow in the chili.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, and I'm going, come on, man. All right, time out. All right, I've had enough of it. He's like the Artie Lang now of of the NFL.
Wait a minute. Right?
I'm a big sloppy ogre. And I do, I'm chilly. Come on, man, I'm enough.
Don't do that to me. I got guys on here to think I sound like him.
I got the number thing. I got the whole WWE thing. I got it all. Now let's chill out. All right, that's all I'm saying. All right, Artie Lang.
Yeah.
All right, there's the guy.
I got a couple guys like, dude, you remind me of Artie Lang.
I'm Artie Lang. I'm a fat, sloppy drug addict. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, I'm not fat, right. Sloppy drug addict. Just the voice.
I get it. I get it, Artie. Okay, I got it. All right, let's move on. Greg Doyle. He's a columnist for the Indianapolis Star. He's a guy that has a lot of balls. He's not afraid to attack anybody. He's like an old school columnist. And I've enjoyed his work in the past. But, he kind of has a creepy side now. Like, first of all, I didn't realize what a homer he was. Like, he attacks, but yet he goes overboard to be a homer. And in this particular situation, he had a really creepy take at a press conference to introduce Caitlin Clark for the Indianapolis Fever, the team she was drafted number one. And before he asked his question, he made the heart thing like that she did to her parents. And then it kind of went on from there to the point where she says, you like that? And he goes, well, you do that to me. We're going to get along well. And it was creepy. So let's hear the audio here with Greg Doyle in the conference with Caitlin Clark.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. So, question is.
All right, so there you go. I don't know what he was thinking. He actually tweeted the next day an apology saying he was out of line and he doesn't know what got into him. But it's like a little, it's a little pervy, to be honest with you. But anyway, let's move on. Oh, the release today, the Tay Tay double album. What is it? Dead Poets Society? What's it called? Something about Dead Poets.
Traumatized poets in a cloudy day. I don't know what it is. I knew you'd be excited. Yeah, about this.
And it's like, you know, like, listen, it's catching like complete bonfire out there right now. And like, it's being released in vinyl and CD and even cassette. And I'm going, you know, that would have been like in the day. Like, I miss being able to buy a CD. Like, everything's downloaded and it's not, just doesn't have the same feel. So I don't know what the point is of releasing it in all these forms, like a vinyl. I know people are going back to vinyl. It's become trendy. A cassette, a CD. But I used to love the CD. There was nothing more convenient than popping a CD into your CD thing in the car.
Totally agree. Like,
and they don't even make the new cars don't even have the CD anymore.
I know. I like going to record stores. I love going through an old record store and sifting through everything. Smell the vinyl. It's the best.
Yeah. So, I used to love the CD. And I've got like boxes full of CDs that, you know, in the day, in the 90s, that's what you were buying, CDs. So I have a monster collection and I can't even play. They're useless. I don't know what to do with them. So I know this download. It's simple. It's easy.
You could probably sell them.
Sell them. For what?
Yeah, I bet you. I guarantee there's collectors out there. If you got some good ones, I guarantee it.
Yeah, I had a month.
I'll find you a site.
A monster collection of CDs, man. Anyway, good luck, Tay. I'm sure you won't have any problems selling it. All right. On another musical note, I brought up the Allman Brothers before. And brilliant guitar players they had. Dwayne Allman, first of all, was the brilliant guitar player. And Dickie Betts matched him when they had both those guys playing guitar. And then Dwayne Allman got killed in a motorcycle accident. Dickie Betts took over. I always refer to this song called "In Memory of Elizabeth Reed," which I've recommended to Darren. He hasn't listened to it yet. But "In Memory of Elizabeth Reed" is Dickie Betts' finest. So
I've listened to it. It's a good song.
It's instrumental. And it's the brilliance of Dickie Betts as a guitar player. All right, the last thing.
Melissa and Jessica are also two other great long instrumentals by the Allmans with the Jets.
The last thing I want to talk about is it's weird, but sometimes I forget the grocery bags that I have purchased for $3. I bring them into the house, the groceries, and then I always forget to put them back in the car, and then I'm on a grocery store hunt, and I go, oh, damn, I forgot my damn bags that you have to buy. Now, here's my theory. When you forget the bags that you've already purchased through the store, like my grocery store is giant, I got two bags worth $3 each. If you forget that bag, do you not have immunity from paying for a paper bag at the end of your grocery lineup?
You're talking a brown paper bag.
Brown paper bag costs extra.
That should not, what's it cost you, a nickel?
At least a dime. But it's the principle.
What's the point? Yeah, why even charge?
It's the principle. I believe you should have immunity from actually buying the bag, that you could just take a bag because you've already invested in the way they want you to do it anyway, which is to buy the ready-made bags with the handles. Are you down with that?
I am. Absolutely. This bag thing has gotten out of hand.
These are the little things that if I was elected commissioner of the world that I would put into play. These little things that people don't think about. And these are all just helpful hints for people to get through life easier rather than the annoyance. Because even if your bill is $99, you don't want to pay anything extra. I got to pay 20 cents for a brown paper bag. It's unsettling, frankly, even though it's 20 cents. It's the principle of it.
I totally agree.
It's like putting a quarter in a parking meter that gives you 5 minutes. It's like, come on, man. Yeah. Seriously? All right.
The world wants the nickel and dime us, Mike.
Exactly.
Literally, right. Nickel and dime.
That's unleashed for today. Time for three questions for Mikey Miss. What do you got today, Darren?
All right, a couple low stress questions today, Mike. It's springtime. Weather was really nice last week. It's going to be nice again this coming week. How about a little water ice? What's your favorite water ice flavor?
I'm a lemon man.
Water ice.
Because lemon was the original, and with the little bits of lemon peel in it is what I usually. It's usually my go to. But I got to tell you, I'm mango is rising on my level a little bit. I like a nice mango, but I'm a lemon water ice. I'm an original lemon water ice guy.
Totally with you on Lemon. I don't like the Lemon bits.
Oh, I love the Lemon
that
bits.
That kind of bothers
love
me.
Love them.
Yeah, I prefer no bits. Mango, very popular in New Orleans. I like a nice, you ever have like a nice, like a tangerine or a orange with the gelati with the vanilla ice cream?
The creamsicle?
Creamsicle there?
Yeah, the creamsicle. I used to get that at Core Brothers on the boardwalk all the time. The half vanilla ice cream, half orange sherbet.
Yeah, that's a good move right there. All right, that's question number one. Question number two, Mike. I'm heavily involved around the high school sports program. My town, Cherokee, my daughter plays softball. You and I are know very well, Stevie D, the varsity baseball coach. For you, what is the most enjoyable sport to watch at a high school level?
Basketball.
Oh, good
answer. High school basketball is great. Come on, man. There's some great high school basketball teams out there. A good high school basketball game, not like, you know, a schmo game. But a very competitive game. And in the Philly area, you have really competitive basketball games.
Great answer. Like that answer a lot. All right. That's question number two. Question number three. You and I have nice cars. We like nice cars. What's the one feature in a car that you absolutely cannot live without?
You know, I'm not really a car guy, to be honest with you.
You always have a nice car.
I get a car that's functional. You know, it's nice.
I would say Mercedes is a step up.
I have
function.
Friends that are car. My one friend's a car fanatic, and he's always buying new. I just need me to get from point A to point B with cars.
You drive a nice Mercedes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Point A to point B,
but it's functional, and it's only because I was doing an ad for Mercedes for years, and I wound up buying a car there. But it's not like I go, I got to have this great car, but a feature,
yeah.
You know, I
are you a heated seat guy? Are you a moonroof guy? Or a satellite radio is very important. I'll take that out of the equation because you got to have that.
I'm not a moonroof guy. I'm not a window open guy.
Oh,
I'm not a window open guy.
You know what I love? Air conditioning on, moonroof open.
Yeah, I don't do that because I don't like. I appreciate quiet so I can hear my tunes. So when you have the moonroof open, it dilutes the sound. I like to have a good sound inside my car. So the moonroof really just brings noise for me. So I can't tell you that there's a function that I really enjoy. I just look at a car like...
How about a heated steering wheel?
Useful utility. A car for me.
I picture you as a good heated steering wheel.
No, not a steering wheel at all. Heated seat, yes. Okay. I'm a heated. Yeah. That's probably the edge. The heated seat.
How about, have you ever had a car? Does your car now have the air-conditioned seats?
No.
I might look into that next time.
I don't have the air-conditioned seats. So you like a nice, ass when you're driving?
I like it. My back, cool.
You like
you know
your back?
I mean?
I like my back heated. See, that's why I like the heated.
Well,
function.
That too.
That loosens it up.
Yeah.
I got a bad back.
I read somewhere that older guys, not old, but like, you know, adult guys tend to use the heated seats more for like loosening your back up than anything
else. I happen
to
be an older guy with a horrendous back with discs like this and a curved spine. We're playing sports my whole life. So, yeah, I like
I also have a bad back, not as bad as yours, though. But that's three questions.
All right, that's three questions. Let's close it down. Again, the email address to get me, mike@mikemiss.com. You can check me out on Twitter. @MikeMiss25. And also, I will be at my winery this Saturday. That's right. I'll be at Natale Vineyard. So if you're in the neighborhood of Cape May Courthouse in Jersey, you want to stop by, you'll probably catch me and we'll chat and have a sippy cup of wine.
What time will you be there, Mike?
I will be there in the afternoon, probably from 2 to 5.
I have to go down to Sea Isle on Saturday. Maybe I'll stop by.
Yeah, maybe you will.
Stop in.
You want me to buy a glass of wine?
Yeah. Right. Let me buy you a glass of wine.
You stop in, I'll buy you a glass of wine. All right. That'll do it for the Mike Messinelli podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend. Hopefully it warms up and you get some nice weather to do some stuff outdoors. Sixers, tomorrow at night, 6 o'clock at the Garden, game one against the New York Knickerbockers. It's a series I think they can and should win. All right. Have a great rest of the day and a good weekend. This is Mike Miss. See you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Missinelli podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.